The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Our beloved Master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, "He who recites 50 times durood upon me every day, on the day of judgment, I will shake hands with him." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madin Channel, welcome again in the beautiful silsila Faizan-e-Islam. Once Hazrat Sayyidina Umar bin Al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu visited our beloved master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He saw the condition of the blessed home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very simple. Even the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were not able to fulfill their basic needs of eating. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked very humbly, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the one hand, the kings of Rome and Iran, those who are enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are living very lavishly, meaning that they have every need of them presented in front of them. Whatever they want to do, they can do. Whatever they want to eat, they can eat. Whatever they want to wear, they can wear. They wear silk clothes. Hundreds and thousands of servants are all the time present in their worldly court. But on the other hand, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are king of both the worlds, but we can see the very simple condition of your blessed home." Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replying Hazrat Sayyidina Umar bin Al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, said that, "O Umar, are you not satisfied that all these bounties are for them only in this world, but we will enjoy all these bounties in hereafter in Jannah?" Dear viewers of Madani Channel, this beautiful story from the blessed life of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows that it is sunnah of our beloved Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam to live a simple life. There is a beautiful hadith which says that if son of Adam has two valleys of wealth, still he would not be satisfied and he would desire for third one. And then Aqa Alam sallallahu alaihi wasallam further says that only dust of grave can fill his stomach. Dear Islamic brothers, it is wealth which sometimes destroys a person, and it is also the same wealth which elevates status of a person in the blessed court and sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, that he becomes beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before starting the questions of today, I would like to remind you the good intentions. As you know that niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali, that intention of a believer is better than his actions. So please make intentions with me that I am watching this silsila in order to gain pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, whatever I will learn from this beautiful silsila, I will try firstly to act upon it, and then inshallah Azza wa Jal, I will try to preach it to others as well. As you know that in our silsila, we have Mufti and Rais Darul Ifta Ahle Sunnat, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Qasim Al-Attari. Mufti Sahib, as yesterday we were discussing the harms and then benefits of wealth, so today I would like to ask you that as we read the books of Sufi-i-Kiram and some ulamas who didn't have interest in this world and worldly life, so we come to know that they used to criticize and condemn the wealth. So what is the stance of Sharia, that the wealth is condemnable, or we should do something so that we earn wealth and live a happy life?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we discussed about the advantages of wealth and some advantages, some disadvantages of wealth. But mostly our focus upon the advantages of wealth. So that's why this question was asked. So basically yesterday I think I have answered. Wealth itself is lawful thing. There is no harm in that and there is no advantage in that. That is the means of gaining something. Now it's upon you. You are gaining good things from that, through that, and you are gaining bad things from that. But mostly, if we read the books of our Sufi-i-Kiram and our Ulama-i-Kiram, the pious predecessors, so we see mostly they criticized wealth and they tried to make the mind of the people, make the mind of the Muslims to be away from gaining wealth, from earning wealth. So why was that? They mentioned that wealth is lawful. There is no harm in that. But mostly it happens when person becomes busy in earning wealth. So mostly he gets away from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. He gets neglectful from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why when they have that observation, and we have also that observation, mostly rich people, wealthy people, they become neglectful from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Mostly the masajid are full with poor people, not with the rich people. And that's why, and this point can be derived from the verses of the Holy Quran as well. As Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wala awladukum an dhikrillah. O believers, la tulhikum amwalukum wala awladukum. Your wealth and your children must not make you neglectful. And وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And whosoever will do that, they are losers. So because the people, after becoming rich, after becoming wealthy, they get neglectful from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal ordered and he forbade people from that. In another verse, Allah Azza wa Jal said, Alhaakum at-takathur, hatta zurtumul maqabir. At-takathur, the desire of abundant wealth. The desire of abundant wealth made you neglectful. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you have seen graves. So till the last moment of our life, we remain neglectful from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal due to the desire of abundant wealth. Even before our death, on the deathbed, because the person doesn't know, now he is going to die. So that's why even on deathbed, he desires to earn more and more, more and more. He that time he desired to get a lot of money, to get a lot of wealth. So that desire of abundant wealth makes a person neglectful from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why, because our pious predecessors, our Sahaba-i-Kiram and scholars and Sufi-i-Kiram, they knew this fact. So due to this knowing and due to this knowledge, they forbid and they prevent people from earning too much wealth, so that they can't become away from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I have some other points as well. For example, one thing which is very interesting, those people who claimed to be God in past, who claimed to be God, like Firaun, like Namrud, they were not poor people. Due to the abundant wealth, due to having a lot of power and wealth, they claimed to be God. So that is the harm of too much money, too much wealth. And the second thing, if we look at that, as I have mentioned now as well, poor people, they follow Sharia, they follow the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal more than the rich people. The rich people, they remain busy earning their wealth and they spend their time, their life, their days and nights in earning more and more. Whatever wealth and how much wealth they earn, they get more greedy for that. So they remain busy all the time and they spend most of their life only in earning wealth. Some people, even some people, they destroy their health. So that is the condition of the people. When a person is destroying his health for wealth, so what would be about the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal? Wealth and health both are beneficial for that person. The remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is beneficial for the person, but in the mindset of the people, you know, their wealth and their health, they are more precious for them than the hereafter. So when they destroy their health for their wealth, for earning wealth, so what would be about the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal? So that's why, because our scholars like Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, like Allama Abdul Ghani Nablusi rahmatullah, who were the wise of the Ummah, who had the knowledge of Quran and Hadith, and who had the wisdom of Deen. So because of their knowledge and because of their observation, they forbid people from that.
Achha, Mufti Sahab, as you said that sometimes it happens that a person gets away from Deen just because of his wealth. So if someone finds himself in this situation, as you have already mentioned, so what should he do to get out of that situation and come again towards the Deen and religion? Should he go to the good company? Should he start spending his money in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, or anything which can make him really the real banda and slave of Allah Almighty?
When we have discussed that earning wealth itself is not haram, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned only some ways, and he has put forward some restrictions. A person has to be careful about that. But if a person wanna earn wealth and he wanna become a rich person, and along with that, he want to become away from the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the love of this world, so he should take some steps, and he should make some intention. He should do something. What are those? So I think, first of all, a person should make some intentions, because a person does what he intends. So when a person makes some intentions, so on according to those intentions, he earns wealth. If a person has already some intention that I will earn wealth, but I will spend that wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, I will serve, I will provide service to the poor people, I will provide my services to Islam, I will spend that money over poor people, I will spend that money over my relatives, and I will be careful about earning haram. So when he makes some intention, those intentions keep that person on right path. So first of all, a person should make some intentions. And as you have mentioned the hadith, niyatul mu'min khayru min amalihi, the intention of a Muslim is better than his action. So mostly it happens when we make some intentions and that intentions remain in our mind. Not in the beginning we make some intention, after that we forget that. No. When we make some intention, so you can say it would be better for a person to write down those intentions and to read those again and again, so that he can be aware of that and he remain aware of that. So that's why it would be better to write down those intentions, and every day in morning when he's going to his work, when he's going to his business, that time he should read those intentions, as it is a common practice in Dawat Islami. As you know, on mirror, Amir al-Sunnah has given one intention that I will keep me away from the sins of the eye and all the parts of the body. So why a person is making that intention in morning? Because every day a person has to look into mirror and he has to do something, he has to comb his hair. So that time when he makes intention, so because that would be his practice, it would be inculcated in his mind, it would be engraved in his mind. So after that, in the whole day, whatever sin will appear in front of him, so he will recall that intention in his mind, and he would be able to abstain from that sin. So similarly, because every person has to earn something, that is his basic need. He has to run his life, he has to run the life of his family. So he has to earn something. But if before going to his office, his business place, if any place, if he makes some intention that I will earn, but in lawful way, not in unlawful way, I will earn and I will spend that wealth in the path of Allah, I will I will earn that wealth according to the commandments of Sharia. So in that way, I think he would be able to manage his way according to Sharia. The second thing, a person should be careful about halal and haram. First, he makes intention that I will never earn haram. I will earn only halal. And the second, he should be careful about halal and haram. And for knowing that, for having the knowledge of halal and haram, he has to learn something. He has to learn Islamic knowledge so that he can differentiate between halal and haram. So that is also compulsory for him. And it is the commandment of Sharia for every person who is earning something, whether he is in business field or he is doing any job. If he is in business field, so it's obligatory upon him to learn the knowledge of having the knowledge of commandment of Sharia about trading, about buying and selling. And if he is an employee, so it would be obligatory upon him to learn about the commandments of Sharia about employment. So it would be obligatory upon him. So the second thing, he should be careful about halal and haram. The third thing, as it is mentioned that the wealth mostly leads a person away from Allah Azza wa Jal, away from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So deliberately he should make some intention to do the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, that my wealth will never lead me to the negligence from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. I will offer my 5-time prayers. My business and my job will never make me away from offering 5-time prayers with congregation. So if he makes that intention, if he makes that mind, so then he will offer 5-time prayers. And other than that, he should make his habit to recite the Holy Quran for a few minutes. So that, an dhikrillah, that shouldn't take place in his life. He can remember Allah Azza wa Jal and he can make it as his habit. And he should recite the Holy Quran. He should make some remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. He should recite some tasbihat. So that along with doing his business, along with running his business and doing his job, he can remember Allah Azza wa Jal. He can recite the Holy Quran during that period. So if a person makes it as his habit to recite the Holy Quran, to remember Allah Azza wa Jal in abundance, so then he can protect himself from negligence, from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. The fourth thing, he must not be immersed in thinking about the worldly wealth. In morning, at daytime, he is earning, but at night, he is making plan about that. So his day and night are busy only in earning money or thinking about earning wealth. Rather than that, he should think about the day of judgment, about akhirat, about the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal, about the bounties of paradise, the blessing Allah Azza wa Jal will bestow upon him in paradise. So he should think about that, so that he can maintain balance between worldly life and the life of the hereafter. So in that way, a person can differentiate between halal and haram, and he can maintain balance between his this life and the life of the day of judgment. And the fourth thing, he should fulfill the rights of wealth. The rights of wealth means Allah Azza wa Jal has made zakat obligatory upon a person. So he has to pay zakat in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Other than that, sadaqah fitr is also wajib. He has to pay sadaqah fitr. And other than that, wherever Sharia demands him to spend his wealth without any fear and fright and without any greed and without any hesitation, he should spend his wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that it shows that this person has the love of Allah Azza wa Jal more than the love of his wealth. Because it is impossible not to have the love of the wealth and money, because that is a natural thing. Because a person fulfills his needs through this wealth, so that's why it's a natural thing to have the love of wealth. But the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love of deen and love of day of judgment and love of hereafter and love of paradise, the bounties of paradise, should be more than the love of wealth. So if a person maintains all these things, so then inshallah he can abstain from the harms of wealth and earning wealth.
Acha, so you were, I mean, making mention of the intention. So as intention is very important in every action of a believer, but especially when someone is spending in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, what happens that shaitan comes and whispers in his ears and tries to destroy his good intention and tries to create some sort of bad intention in his heart. So my question is that if someone is spending, but he is spending with bad intention, so what is the punishment of that person who spends with the intention of riyakari and showing off, or spends just to show others, or just anything like that?
That person is totally loser, because he is losing his wealth as well as his hereafter. So he is losing his worldly wealth, and he is losing the reward of hereafter as well when he is making the intention of showing off. So it is totally making showing off of any kind of worship, whether that is spending the wealth in the path of Allah, whether or that is offering prayer or any other good act. If he makes the intention of showing off, so he is sinner and he will never get any reward on that particular action. As Allah said in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَىٰ كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ رِعَاءَ النَّاسِ. Both things have been mentioned in this place. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَىٰ. You must not waste your charity through بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَىٰ, to tease that person to whom you have spent something, or to remind him again and again that you were a poor person and I was one who bestowed upon you. So with that, the reward of this person who is reminding his blessings or bounties to that person, and who is teasing another person, his reward will get wasted as the reward of that person. Alladhi yunfiqu malahu ri'a an-nas, who spends his wealth for showing off to the people. So that person who shows off his charity, his reward gets destroyed totally. So that's why it is very important to make good intention, otherwise there is no need and there is no benefit of spending that money.
Acha, Ustaz sahab, as you have mentioned that sometimes it happens that just because of wealth someone gets immersed in the world and worldly life. So what I have observed, that when we go to a person like this and we remind him that you are a Muslim, and being Muslim you have to offer 5 times salah, you have to pay zakah, and you have to be a very practicing Muslim, you know what he says? He replies that, see Maulana sahab, namaz is farz, okay, but earning rizq halal is also farz, so I am busy in this farz, so that's why I don't find time for doing that first. So how would you respond to this kind of person?
First of all, it is a very dangerous sentence, because when a person is uttering these words, in some ways it is the denial of the obligation of prayer. Because when he is saying that I am busy in one obligation, to fulfilling one obligation, so that's why I don't have time for offering prayer. So what does he mean by that? It means Allah Azza wa Jalla has made prayer obligatory upon him without knowing the fact and the condition of the people, that Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't know that the people would be busy in earning their sustenance. So that's why it is very dangerous thing. It can lead a person to disbelief, first of all. The second thing is that the person who is earning for his sustenance, so doesn't he do anything else? Doesn't he go to his home at night? Doesn't he meet his relatives? Doesn't he fulfill some social obligations, what he thinks he should fulfill? So when he fulfills other duties, so why only about the duty of a responsibility which has been obligatory upon him from Allah Azza wa Jal? So that is only lame excuse which wouldn't be accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that person must listen to or read some warnings of leaving prayer. What Allah Azza wa Jal has said in the Holy Quran, what the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, that the person, the first question on the day of judgment, what would be that? That would be about offering prayer. If a person would be successful in answering this first question, so his accountability will go on. Otherwise, on the first place, he will be unsuccessful, and then the matter would be closed. The second hadith about offering prayer, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person who leaves even one time prayer deliberately, his name would be written on the gate of hell through which he will enter hell. So that person, such a person, must read warnings about leaving prayer and the importance of prayer, and I think this is the solution for that person. Otherwise, neglectful people, so they have been in this world, they will remain in this world, so it's upon them. If they have to go to paradise, they will have to offer prayer. If they have to go some other place, so then it's upon them, whatever they do.
Acha Muhtasab, nowadays what I mean, we see in our society that many people, just in order to earn money or to make their worldly life better, they leave their country, they leave their wife, their children, their parents, and they go to other countries. Okay, so meaning earning money, we are not saying that it is wrong, but what happens that just for sake of earning money, when they go to that country where Muslims are not in big number, so they start, you know, missing their Juma Salahs, they start missing their Eid Salah, they start missing even their daily Salahs, and then they get indulged in some other bad things as well. So does Sharia allow a person that he can go for earning money and can put himself in this type of situation where even his iman and his, you know, farais going to get destroyed?
The answer of this question vary person to person. For some people, there would be permission from Sharia because it has been tradition among all the people in the entire world. The people travel for earning, for their business, for their jobs. They go to other countries, they go to other cities for earning. So now it depends upon the condition of that person. For some people, there may be no harm if they go to other country, so they will maintain their religious obligations, they will offer prayer there, they will recite the Holy Quran, they will protect themselves from committing sins, so they would be able to do that. And some people would be in that condition what you have mentioned. If they go abroad, so then their condition change very soon. They leave prayer, they get immersed in earning only, and they commit sins a lot there. So if that is their condition, so then the commandment of Sharia would be different for these people. So going to other city or going to other country for earning, for doing business, for doing any job is lawful itself. Now it depends upon the condition of a person. If he loses his good condition due to traveling to other country, to the other city, so it would be obligatory upon him to come back from there and to go somewhere else. Because fulfilling the duties of Allah Azza wa Jal, fulfilling the responsibilities of Allah Azza wa Jal is obligatory upon a person. And if a person can't manage to fulfill the Sharia duties in any certain place, so it would be first upon him to migrate from that place to come back from his own place to go to any other place where he can fulfill the duties of Sharia. So now I would say it depends upon the condition of a person.
Acha Mufti Sahab, during your beautiful answer to the first question or the second question, you made mention of Farz Uloom, that Muslims must, you know, learn the Farz Uloom. So the question which I want to ask you, that if someone is interested in learning Farz Uloom, especially is a wealthy person, he wants to know that how much zakat is farz upon him, and he wants to know that how should I spend my money in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, so from where, from which sources he can learn Farz Uloom? Please educate us on this regard.
I think in far past, not only in far past, I think that in near past, it was difficult to learn knowledge properly about trading and about jobs and about other commandments of Sharia. But alhamdulillah, now with the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islami is working in every field. So particularly the focus of Abir Ahl Sunnat is upon teaching and learning obligatory knowledge. and he has emphasized upon the importance of Islamic knowledge, particularly that knowledge which is obligatory upon every Muslim. As it is mentioned in one hadith, talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslimin. Learning knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim, man and woman. So when it is obligatory, so now alhamdulillah, in the easiest way, a lot of means are available. As for example, if we think about the environment of Dawat Islami, so in the environment of Dawat Islami, a lot of means are available through which we can learn Islamic knowledge. For example, the first of all is Madani Channel. Through Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, people are learning and they can learn a lot of Islamic knowledge about every field of life. As in the program of Darul Ifta Ahl-e-Sunnat, and particularly the program about Ahkam-e-Tijarat, the commandments of Sharia about trading. So that program is specified with the matter that deals with the matters of business.
Really wonderful program.
Okay. Yeah. So if a person wanna learn the commandments of Sharia about business, so he can watch that program. That program is available on the website of Dawat Islami. So if he watches those programs, so he would learn Islamic knowledge about business. And other than that, the particular silsila Darul Ifta Ahl-e-Sunnat. So in many episodes, the matters of the whole life are discussed in those programs. And the third is Madani Muzakara. Alhamdulillah, in Madani Muzakara, a lot of matters of the life are discussed in that silsila. And the other means is particularly the program of Dawat-e-Islami with the name of Farz Ulum, the obligatory knowledge. Twice, I think, this course has been done.
Ji.
This course has been conducted in the environment of Dawat-e-Islami twice.
Ji.
And both courses are available in CD form, in memory card as well. And those are available on the website of Dawat-e-Islami as well. And those are very, very useful for common people because a lot of obligatory knowledge is provided in those CDs and in those programs. So that's why it would be better to watch and to listen to those programs. And through that, inshallah, azawajal, the people will learn Islamic knowledge. And the other means to read books. Alhamdulillah, approximately 700 books have been published by Maktabatul Madina with the research of Al Madinatul Ilmiya. So when approximately 700 books have been published about every aspect of life, from beliefs, from prayer, from worships, till the issues of inheritance, from beginning of the life till the end of the life, all these issues, all these matters have been discussed in those books about spiritual diseases and spiritual qualities, apparent sins and apparent qualities, about sins. The particular book is Jahannam Mele Jane Wale Amal, those deeds which lead a person to hell, and Jannat Mele Jane Wale Amal, those deeds will lead a person to paradise. So these books have been published. And other than that, a lot of other books are available. So alhamdulillah, you can imagine in 700 books how much knowledge you can earn and you can learn. So that's obvious. And other than that, alhamdulillah, the weekly congregation of Dawat-e-Islami, which are held every Thursday night. So alhamdulillah, in those congregations, religious congregations, a lot of knowledge is gained. So these are the means, inshallah, if a person focus upon that and he tries to get knowledge through these means, so inshallah, he would be able to learn his Islamic knowledge.
MashaAllah, Mufti Sahib, very wonderful session and very wonderful discussion. Now I want to ask Mufti Sahib that according to some Sufiya Kiram, wealth is a snake. If you are unable to handle it or control it, then you mustn't take that snake in your hands. So now, how one can come to know that this wealth is beneficial for me or this wealth is destroying me? So if he comes to know, then what must he do to avoid the harms of wealth?
I think first he should get proper knowledge about wealth.
Ji.
First of all, he should recite the Holy Quran, particularly that portion or those verses in which Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned something about wealth and world and worldly life and the harms of the world and what is the reality of world. إِلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ. Like these verses, a person should recite these. And second, he should recite the sayings, ahadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a particular chapter in the books of ahadith with the name of our Kitab al-Riqaq. What is that? Kitab al-Riqaq is about the disadvantages of wealth and world and some other relevant topics. So if a person reads these books and these ahadith, so he will get some mentality about wealth and about world, how to deal with that. The second thing, he should read the biography, the seerat of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that is most effective for every Muslim. As Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Holy Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a best role model for you. So when the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is best role model for us, so then we should read the seerah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for that, I would suggest that the book Seerat Rasool Arabi and Seerat Mustafa, both have been published by Maktabat al-Madina. So those are brief seerat books. Those are not too much lengthy. So if a person reads those books, so he will come to know the way of the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which way he has spent his life. So through that, inshallah azza wa jal, a person will get some good mindset. The third thing, he should ponder upon the day of judgment and the matters of the day of judgment. He will have to present in the court of Allah azza wa jal, and he will have to answer the questions, and he will have to give the answers about every bounty and every blessing what he has been bestowed upon in this world. So when he will think about the blessings, he will think about the day of judgment, so then it would make his mind safe and sound. The fourth thing is, he should learn Islamic knowledge, because knowledge is very, very important. Through knowledge, a person can abstain from sins, he can abstain from risk-e-haram. The fifth thing is that he should be careful, particularly about haram risk, because may matter in earning wealth and earning money is being careful about halal and haram. And the another thing, he should sit in the company of pious people. He should sit in the company of those people in which he can remove the love of world, the love of wealth, the love of money. So I think if he does these things, so inshallah azza wa jal, he will be able to successful in this world as well as in the hereafter.
Mufti sahab, if someone wants to evaluate himself, that where he is standing, so is there any criteria of Sharia which tells him that he is fulfilling the rights of Islam or he is not fulfilling the rights of Islam?
I think criterion for that is very obvious. One standard is mentioned in one ayah, what we have recited again and again in our program. What is that? Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wala auladukum an dhikrillah. The wealth must not take you away from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So now this is one criterion. If you wanna evaluate yourself, so look at your condition, your wealth, your earning, your business and your job is leading you away from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, and due to that you have become neglectful from the remembrance of Allah, from offering prayer, so it means you are not fulfilling the rights of wealth. That is very obvious criterion. And the second thing is that, and similarly about the recitation of the Holy Quran, about offering prayer, about the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, basically all these things are the kinds of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Prayer is one kind of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Recitation of the Holy Quran is also the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. But particularly when we describe in a detailed way, so that would be best. The second thing which Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in another place, what is that? Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Holy Quran, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. The main word from which we are taking point, what is that? أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions all the things which are beloved to the person, آباؤكم, your parents, your sons, your brothers, your trading, your business, your houses, your spouses, and your other means of life. If all these are more beloved to you than Allah Azza wa Jal, then the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then to strive in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, then wait until Allah brings His order. So what is that? Now a person can evaluate himself very easily, that wherever a commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal takes place, and on the other hand, the wealth and the money is existing, and there is a contradiction between these two. Either you can earn the pleasure of Allah, or you can earn the wealth of this world. So now what would you prefer? If you are giving preference to wealth over the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, it means you are not fulfilling the rights of wealth. You are getting disturbed and destructed by the love of wealth. And if you are preferring the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, the love of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam over wealth, it means the love of wealth is not destroying you, and that is not misguiding you. So that is a very obvious criterion. And where can we observe, we see this contradiction? There are many ways. For example, in Zuhr prayer, for example, the time of Zuhr prayer, Azan has been recited. Azan has been recited, but one customer is in front of us, and he will purchase very invaluable things from him, and we will earn a lot of benefit from him. So now, on one hand, there is the benefit of 1,000 rupees. On the other hand, there is the reward of offering congregational prayer. So now, what would you prefer? If you prefer the reward of offering prayer with congregation over that 1,000 rupees benefit, so it means you are preferring the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal over wealth. And if you leave offering prayer with congregation, you say, okay, so first I will sell this products to this person, and I will earn some money this time, and then I will offer my prayer without congregation. So it means you are preferring that time the love, the wealth, and the love of wealth over the love of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Jazakallah khairan, Mufti Sahab. Dear viewers of Madri channel, from the beautiful discussion, we come to know that it is very important for a Muslim to be able to differentiate between halal and haram. And then it is also very important for him that if he is spending something in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, he must make sure that he is spending that thing with pure intention. If you are spending your money, no matter in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, but with the intention of showing off, then beware, your this move and action can lead you towards hell and hellfire. May Almighty Allah make us practicing Muslim, and may Almighty Allah give us tawfiq to spend in His path with good intentions. Ameen, ameen, bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.